Hollywood is rated LGBT radio, starring your host, Rob Watson!
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are rated LGBT radio, and we are really thrilled you are joining us for this week's installment. Again, this week we have a really great show lined up for you. This one we are actually touching base on a few things that we have actually done full shows on in the past, but both have kind of a revised aspect to them, and so we're circling back on those. One is the ongoing assault against transgender Americans by the Republican Party, and we have several different stories that have brewed up on that that our co-host and the editor of the LA Blade, Brody Levesque, is going to talk with us about today. Just keeping you up to speed, you know, if you have friends who are transgender, if you care about the transgender population, especially kids who are growing up and having that awareness about themselves, these are important stories because they are under assault. Many times they're demonized. They're being used as scapegoats. They're being used as political footballs by the Republican Party. All of it is unfounded, and a lot of it could result in really tragic outcomes. And so we want to talk about that again. We want to bring you up to what is going on currently in that area. And, you know, for both your awareness and your call to activism, because you should get out, get involved, and fight this stuff. There are real people whose lives are being damaged by it, and the motivation behind it is completely nonsensical. Also this hour, we're bringing on one of the good friends of the show, Doug Probst. Doug is known by another name from the past. You may know him as Sean Mayotte. Sean was a very well-known porn star of the 1980s. We had Doug on a month or two ago to talk about his book, Mayotte, Musings of a Narcissist, a Survivor's Story. Hugely dramatic story. What he went through, the abuse, both in religious organizations as well as with his own family, and how he came out as a survivor. It was an astounding story. We had a great show with him. I wrote an article about the show and about him that was published in the LA Blade, and you can still find all of that online. Well, Doug has released another book, and it is along the same vein, except in a whole different realm, and this is kind of more the positive side and artistic side of what he went through. He has actually released a what I would call a coffee table book with some very beautiful photography, and it is very erotic. They are the erotic shots of Sean Mayotte. The book is called Sean Mayotte After Hours, Naked and Unashamed. And as you look through the book, you can see he is both of those things. He is both naked and unashamed, and presented in a very tasteful but a very erotic way. And so those of you who are so inclined, I think you would find a lot of enjoyment about that book. And we're going to talk to Doug about it and why he released it and everything around it. With that, though, I first like to welcome my co-host, Brody Levesque, to the show. Brody, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fair, just kind of in the peachy category as the news flow hits my desk and keeps going. Good afternoon, good morning, good day to all of our listeners across the globe. We appreciate you subscribing and listening to us. Tell your friends. Go to your podcast app. Download, download, download. Every little bit helps. On a personal note, I want to mourn the loss of someone that I met the very first summer that I came to the United States from Canada. Her name was Sally Gearhart. She was a pioneering lesbian educator and activist. She was featured in the Oscar-winning documentary The Times of Harvey Milk back in 1984. Sally was actually a friend and a colleague of Harvey's. She fought alongside Harvey to basically do away with Prop 6, and that was known as the Briggs Initiative. She and Harvey actually debated Senator Briggs in Orange County. The Briggs Initiative,
and
of course,
Brody,
was to remove...
For those who don't remember what the Briggs Initiative was, can you explain that one a little bit?
That's what I was about to do. The Briggs Initiative was an initiative put forward that would have barred gay and lesbian educators across the state of California at all levels, primary, secondary, community college. Basically, if you were a gay teacher and you were, you know, you were in front of minors, they didn't want you teaching. And so Sally and Harvey and activists from all over the state of California launched a very successful campaign to defeat the initiative. They were joined in the effort by then Governor Brown, Speaker of the California Assembly, and Mayor of the City of San Francisco, George Moscone. And it was a landmark thing for the gay community because they were under the gun. It was at the same time Anita Bryant was running around the country, with her Save the Children. And it was really at a turning point as the gay rights movement itself became focused in California and started moving forward. Well, Sally was very, very much a part of that. She was a longtime educator. She had a tenured position at San Francisco State. She was given numerous awards for her work. She was just an amazing person, and there's been a couple films about her. But she wasn't feeling too good, and at age 90, she slipped away. My good friend Cynthia Laird, who is the editor-in-chief and news editor of the Bay Area Reporter, San Francisco's LGBTQ publication of record since 1971, wrote a beautiful tribute to her that I carried at the Los Angeles Blade. So either go to the Bay Area Reporter or the LA Blade, and you can read more about Sally. She was just an amazing, amazing person. So, trans, yeah. Go ahead. It's been one of those days.
Yeah. So what? Before we get to the trans issues, are there any other breaking news stories that we should be aware of?
Very much so. In Minnesota, Tim Walz, the governor, about not even 2 hours ago, signed an executive order that bars public funds from being used for the discredited practice of conversion therapy for LGBTQ youth in the state. I'm quoting the governor, to ensure that no minor Minnesotan under 18 is subjected to this Byzantine torturous practice. And then he signed it. He was immediately congratulated by folks around him. And then, of course, he was also attacked by the Minnesota Family Council, which is an anti-LGBTQ organization that has been listed as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. They called the governor's order a direct attack on individual choice in health care. The LGBT advocacy group Outfront Minnesota, however, was extremely pleased, and their CEO, James Darvell, who I've met actually a couple of times, James said this, "We at Outfront are incredibly grateful and excited to see Governor Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan signing onto this executive order. Actually, a young man who's been a guest of our show, Alex Fisher, is a young Minnesotan activist. He's been on Rated LGBT Radio. He runs an independent film company in the Twin Cities when Alex was a freshman in college. He and a group of young people tried to get the practice barred by the state legislature, and that still needs to happen. And so at this point, the push will be on to get the passage of a state ban, like 20 other states, on this discredited practice. Unfortunately, in Minnesota, the Senate is held by the Republicans, so they're not sure they're going to be able to get it through. So there you go.
And I think we also had on the show John Becker, who was the young man who went undercover into the Bachman's therapeutic organization and recorded that they were, you know, practicing that conversion therapy, you know, outreach or whatever. And that was, you know, that was brought up during that when she was running for president.
And her husband, Marcus, of course, they call it talk therapy, but yeah, it's in that clinic, although it's, my understanding is no longer in operation, was in St. Cloud, Minnesota. John went undercover. At the time, John was working as a journalist for Wayne Besson from TruthWinsOut.org.
Right.
That was, you know, again, we have now with Minnesota 21 states and cities and territories that have now banned this discredited practice. And it actually started here in California. And I want to give a shout out to Congressman Ted Lau from the Long Beach area, because when he was a state assemblyman in Sacramento, he introduced the very first bill in the country to ban and bar the practice. So shout out to the congressman. His good deed is still paying it forward.
Yeah, I actually had an online – I wrote an article about it at the time on Huffington Post and had kind of a back and forth with the head of the California Psychiatric Association, because they at first did not support the bill, and I kind of called them out, and then they did support the bill, and then they responded on the article, and we went back and forth with it at the time. So, yeah, California was absolutely the forefront of this issue, and I'm glad to see it going through. It's a little bit ironic that, I mean, and I guess this could be pointed out in reverse, but conservative group you cited that doesn't want, quote unquote, interference into personal health care has no problem at all interfering in the personal health care of transgender youth. So weird. But anyway.
You just brought up a point that, you know, actually dovetails into what you said at the top of the hour about things that are going on in the trans community. In the state of Texas, out of the 60-some-plus members of the Democratic caucus, 57 of them got on two private jets and went to Washington, D.C., and are camped out in Washington, which means that the Texas State House, the Republicans don't have a quorum, which means they can't pass anything on Governor Greg Abbott's so-called special session that he called. And number three on the list was, wait for it, a piece of legislation that once again would bar trans youth from participating according to their gender identity in intramural and interscholastic sports in the state of Texas. So, you know, it's once again, you know, here we have a situation where they're, you know, they're poking their nose in where it doesn't belong. But in the case of Texas, I've got to give props to the entire Texas delegation for saying, and they walked out. And the lawmakers yesterday actually met with Vice President Kamala Harris, and the Vice President congratulated them on their political courage. Of course, the Texas House Republicans have now all voted to arrest them upon their return to Texas, and Abbott, of course, keeps vowing to have session after session after session. But this is in part the lunacy of the Republican extremist right that has taken hold of Republican Party politics, and especially on the trans issue. They just, for whatever reason, won't let go of it. you know.
Well, I don't think it's for whatever reason. I think it's calculated. I mean, it is a boogeyman issue that they are trying to rile up their base of it's kind of going back to that soccer mom concept. That, you know, if they can reach moms and go, oh, my God, your daughters are under threat from these boys that are going to be, you know, invading their sports. And you know, it's all fictitious. It's all fictitious. Does not exist. But if they rile these people up, then they are trying to make this a wedge voting issue that will help fuel not only their momentum in terms of getting elected, but their momentum in terms of fundraising. So I think this is totally calculated.
Well, I was being rather flippant. No, it is very calculated. As a matter of fact, my friend Peter Montgomery, who is the leading scholar and researcher for the People for Americans Way Right Wing Watch, wrote a piece a few days ago about Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, who's also been listed as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, and again for the lies and propaganda against LGBTQ, particularly trans people. Perkins at CPAC in Dallas over the weekend, which is the Conservative Political Action Committee, made it very abundantly clear that the Family Research Council will be doing a full-court press on all these anti-transgender issues and laws and making that a focal point of congressional campaigns as we start to move in January into the 2022 congressional House cycle for elections. So, yeah, it is calculated.
Right.
And as no, you and I know, well, as right. you and I know, and we've said repeatedly, you know, that the trans folks – our trans brothers and siblings are very much at the tip of the spear, you know, when it comes down to this nonsense by the right, and especially the extremists on the right.
Right. Now, last week we talked about a situation there in L.A. where a spa that was trans-inclusive and has some trans mm-hmm. individuals that are part of their membership was under attack from a right-wing group that claimed that a transgender person was essentially flashing girls and women in the spa. And the LA Blade has done investigative reporting to really indicate mm-hmm. that situation, first of all, did not ever even happen. What is an update on that story?
The story right now, and I'm can say this today, the Los Angeles Magazine and the Los Angeles Blade have agreed to work together to continue the story. There is a so-called protest that has been slated for this weekend on the 17th. We do not know a lot of details just yet because the organizers on the right have virtually gone underground. They've moved it off of the usual channels to places that we can't get to necessarily on Telegram and some other apps, but they are organizing. They are still claiming that there was a transgender individual in the facility at the time that so-called video, which has went viral, was made. We've determined that in fact is not the case. We have five sources now telling us that, as well as I have a source in the Los Angeles Police Department, and the LAPD isn't buying it. They don't think it happened either. There is a lot of agitation about this issue. It's not over with yet. And unfortunately and sadly, there is going to be probably some folks out there who have a propensity for violence that are going to exercise that over the weekend. And so the Los Angeles Magazine and the Los Angeles Blade have teamed up, and we're going to be having our reporters cover that before the weekend.
Good. No, good. And it just the principle of it is the same. Is this trumped up, pardon the expression, vendetta against situations that have never happened? And California is historic in that when the all the bills were going on about transgender kids using bathrooms, that a story circulated about a transgender individual in the LA school system that was harassing girls in the girls' room. And again, total fiction, did not happen. It was all a wet dream of the right to irate people, and it was a fabrication. Brody, tell us about quickly about the QAnon congresswoman who attacked trans parents and called them child abusers.
Yes, QAnon congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Okay, so Courtney Cox has a reality show that is streamed live on Facebook. And it is in its third season now, and it's called 9 Months with Courtney Cox. And basically, this particular show is about, you know, kids and raising kids and having kids, and it's a pretty good show. Well, in a June episode of the season three, which is currently being streamed, it featured a trans couple, Ahana and Patrona. Ahanu is trans masculine and carried the child, and then Patrona is a trans woman. Now, in this particular episode, Patrona was attempting to breastfeed the baby and, of course, was frustrated when she could not, so the child's being fed with formula. Well, that's what set the congresswoman off. In her rant on Twitter, and this was a retweet, first she retweeted a Republican who's challenging Democratic U.S. Representative Paul Tonka in New York's 20th congressional in next year's races. But here's Green, okay? This was a hateful transphobic rant claiming, this is child abuse. This baby is in danger. Remove this child immediately. Caring for and raising children should have nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with fulfilling this man's unnatural fantasies. Men cannot give birth or breastfeed. They are mentally unstable. Okay, that was the congresswoman. All right.
Right.
Now, my colleague at The Advocate, Trudy Ring, pointed out that sometimes with medications and use of hormones and other things, trans women can, in fact, be capable, okay, of breastfeeding because these things, these medications will induce lactation, okay? As a matter of fact, there was a study recently that noted that that was, in fact, the case, okay? But as far as Green goes, she's not going to have it anyway. Now, she's got a long track record besides her QAnon rubbish of anti-LGBTQ rhetoric. Earlier this year in February, when the Equality Act was being debated in Congress, Illinois Democratic Congresswoman Marie Newman put a transgender flag in the hallway outside her congressional suite in honor of her daughter, Evie, who's trans. Well, Green, whose office is literally right across the hallway from Representative Newman, immediately hung this huge, and I mean huge, sign directly facing Newman's congressional suite that said, quote, there are two genders, male and female. Trust the science. And then, of course, she said some other things that, you know, are quite
right.
Nice. And then, of course, this week she tweeted, you know, talking about Caitlyn Jenner, stop promoting this man in a dress, you know. And then she's also previously tweeted, teaching racism and promoting sex, homosexuality, and normalizing transgender to children is mental, emotional child abuse. You know, I mean, she's got a long track record of just being hateful. And so the attack on this trans couple did not come as a surprise. Now, as most people, including this reporter, will point out, she's been stripped of all House committees. She's been stripped of any work to do on the Hill. She doesn't introduce legislation. She stands up and gives speeches. She got in a boatload of trouble for comparing mask wearing to Jewish Yellow Stars of David and the Holocaust. In fact,
right.
It was so bad, she was actually forced to go take a tour of the Holocaust Museum there in Washington, and she came back to the House floor and immediately did a retraction and an apology. But, I mean, you know, she's a nutcase. But the problem is she's from a district in Georgia, okay, that went for Trump in the last election, is MAGA red, has a high, high illiteracy rate. And, yes, I'm saying that very intentionally because it's my contention the less educated they are, the more likely they are, okay, to fall in line with cultist-like type behavior, which fits this QAnon congressperson, okay? So basically,
right.
She's got nothing to do all day long except be a pain in everybody's butt and tweet stuff. So think Donald Trump only without being as annoying as he is on that bigger scale, you know? And surprisingly, Twitter hasn't shut her up yet.
Yeah, but to that point, she is a darling of Donald Trump for obvious reasons,
mm-hmm.
and Donald Trump still remains the front runner for the Republican 2024 presidential race. So that alone, regardless of her whatever power she does or does not have in the current Congress, she still is somebody that the Republicans either need to deal with or understand that she's going to be the face of their party because she's already being a mouthpiece for them, whether they like her rhetoric or not.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you know, she is a mouthpiece and she is a pain. But again, it's part of the entire culture of the Republican Party. I mean, it just, they're all doing it. Yeah. She
right.
just happens to be the most highly visible, you know, one doing it, but they're all doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, they are, and she's the outlier, and she's not saying it in the way that those who are, you know, potentially even more dangerous because they're upholding this nonsense, but they're trying to say it in the most, you know, seemingly acceptable way. And she says it in a way that is obviously unacceptable and out there, but, you know, they still need to own that. They need to own that is really the principle that they're standing for. I want to go ahead and bring Doug on because I know
uh-huh.
Doug is very politically active as well as being an author, and I know he has some viewpoint on some of these issues as well. So I thought I'd give him an opportunity to weigh in. Doug, welcome to the show. Hey, Doug, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. We can hear you now. You were
all right.
You were a
I'm sorry
quiet.
About that. Now can you? I was listening with wanting to jump in at all kinds of places, but I held myself in knowing that I was muted. Of course, that was very good on you. That was very smart on YouTube, you guys' part. Keep me muted. You know that. Anyway, but Brody,
I would say you could have jumped in, but it wouldn't have worked.
Exactly.
What are your
thoughts? I knew you guys know. You know me well enough. Keep me muted until it's my time. but as far as you know, the issue that Brody and you were discussing, you know, on my website I put a story about the Texas bill that would take anti-suicide drugs away from trans children. And there's a heartbreaking video of a mother testifying in front of the, you know, Texas lawmakers. And I wrote that, you know, they seem to have nothing better to do than to kill transgender youth. And in the video, you know, she tells them, you know, I'm terrified to be here today. I'm afraid that by speaking here today that my words will be used against me should SB 1646 or SB 1311 pass. And my sweet son, whom I love more than life itself, will be taken from me. And the bill actually says it would redefine child abuse to include consenting to or assisting in the administering or supplying of a puberty suppression prescription drug or cross-sex hormone to a child, as well as other gender-affirming healthcare procedures, even though puberty blockers are reversible and they are prescribed specifically for and to significantly reduce suicidal thoughts for trans people. So basically, legislators just want to kill trans kids. That's it. And they would criminalize
yeah.
doctors for prescribing the anti-suicide drugs. You know, her son, she's saying that, you know, when her son was 4 years old, he asked her if scientists could turn him into a boy. And I only knew that he wasn't like most girls his age, and something inside him was hurting. Now, the thing that's always fascinated me is that's science right there. Science is measurable. It's right in front of you. Some of the I don't want to go off track, but I look at it like when they call, you know, criminal cases, there's circumstantial evidence. Well, we have enough circumstantial evidence, and some of the circumstantial evidence cases are the best cases in the world. If you are trying to try a guy for murder and you go into his computer and you see, you know, how to hide a body, how to do this, how to do that, how to do that, that's pretty good circumstantial evidence that guy did the murder. The same thing with transgender youth. If you've got kids that are this way at that age, how do these people get it in their heads that that's somehow reversible? This is who they are. I've met so many 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds, as you read in my book, who are either transgender or gay. You know, I mean, and that's who they are. And they're all of this, you know, I hate to say this, but it's simple. But because of the Republican hate and because of those kind of people, what they do is they turn a simple issue and make it complicated so that they can have it their way to support their hate. And wherever that hate comes from, I really don't know, because I, at 10 years old, you know, I had no problem. I was tricep. It didn't matter who you were. I mean, it didn't matter what you did, who you were. I had kids come on to me. It never bothered me like it does other people. I mean, but, you know, now we're talking about, like Brody was saying, that this is so serious because they're using transgender people just like the Nazis used Jewish people.
Right.
Gay people were not enough when it came to Mike Pence. I mean, look at the difference in Christianity. Jimmy Carter builds houses for the homeless. He feeds the poor. He does Christian work. He's never said a word about, you know, gay people being, you know, anything bad about gay people. He never said Jesus. But then that's a real Christian. Then Mike Pence comes in office, and his whole agenda is kill the fag, kill gay people. That's all it is. That and to me, it is a fact. I'm writing an article on the sociopathy of born again Christianity, because obviously we all know now that evangelical Christianity was not about morals. But I'm not sure how it got this way, because like Brody was saying, you know, in the 70s, I mean, that was the height of liberalism. I mean, the 60s started it, and in the 70s it just went, you know, we had shows like Soap, we had where, you know, things like that. And then Anita Bryant came along, and the Briggs measure,
at least it failed.
But
yeah,
I think the
Doug, I want to jump in on a point, the points that you're raising before, because I think they're really pertinent.
Jump in and cut me off anytime you feel like.
Well, no, I don't want to cut you off.
No, I need to. Go ahead.
But because we were talking about conversion therapy and how. That was now being outlawed, which is good. But the thing is, I think there is a level of understanding of these things that is pertinent, because on the surface level, it looks like we're talking about two things that in principle are the same thing. One is, should kids be subjected to quote unquote a therapy before they are of adult age? And should parents potentially, quote-unquote, thrust this upon them before that? So you have people who are LGBTQ-affirming who look at conversion therapy and say, no, that's child abuse if you know, if a kid comes out as gay and you throw them into conversion therapy. The conservatives are saying, whoa, wait a minute, but you've got these kids coming saying, you know, I don't like being the gender I am, and now you're going to throw them into this quote-unquote therapy before they're 18 to make them, this is the rhetoric, make them transgender. What is not being understood is, even though they're two different therapies, and to your point, one is incredibly scientific and the other actually is incredibly unscientific, and in fact has been scientifically proven to be detrimental.
Right.
But the issue is with what you brought out with the hormone blockers is all the hormone blockers do is they stop the child's physical body from moving forward in a direction that that person may not want to be ultimately. And so it delays that to the point where that child or that person reaches maturity and, in most cases, to your point, they already knew who they were and they continue on as to who they were.
Right.
But their body
right.
has not done things that are difficult, if not impossible, to reverse. So it is the way that a child can reach a mature age, make a mature decision on who they are, and move forward. So there is devil in these details of the experience.
There's devil in all their bills. I read all 31 bills. There's devil in all those details. And if I may jump in and piggyback on what you're talking about, being a therapist myself, first of all, I want to say that, and to Brody, what he brought up, it's a very heartening thing to hear that Democrats finally have balls and they got in a plane and took off. I mean, you know, that wouldn't happen in the 80s or 90s. You know, all 56 years of my life, all I've seen is, you know, we just screw ourselves in the butt. You know, we just – every time we find a way – not anymore. It looks like we got some people in there with balls. So that's very, very heartening and very uplifting to know that we have people that will stand up. Now, on the therapy side, whether it's a child or it's an adult, the only way therapy works is if you don't put things in a child's head before they talk to you. You don't come into a therapy situation and think you know what's best for the child. You listen. They're people too. When I was a child, I knew what I wanted to be. I knew what I wanted to go on, and I wanted to express myself. Now, we all, you know, dumb down children and think that they're, you know, that's why the cartoons get Teletubbies compared to the old Bugs Bunny. It's like ridiculous. You know, the only way therapy works is if you sit back and you let the child talk and let them, and then you accept what they're saying as their truth. Otherwise, all you're doing is putting your bullshit and your truth and what you think into their head. And that seems to be, you know, the Republican agenda. And, you know, in my early – go ahead.
And to that point, though, Doug, because, I mean, going back to your question of, like, how did they get this way and why are they doing this and the kind of the evil that is behind it.
Fox News.
That is almost the definition of being conservative. And I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but you know, I grew up in – that traditional mindset. And part of that traditional mindset is to keep everything a certain group of people in our society knew as status quo, keeping it at status quo. And that goes to the level of what a man's role is in the family, what a woman's role is in the family, and keeping those fixed. That there is no deviance from those concepts. All of this threatens that, because even this was kind of part of the point of gay marriage, was because what was really threatened in the conservative viewpoint wasn't just the fact that two men were married or two women were married, but the fact that in a man and woman marriage, people in that situation walked in, and there was already this resume of what each of them was meant to do. It was unwritten.
Right.
It was handed down. It was assumed that woman, get pregnant, stay home, cook, clean, do all that. Man, be in charge of the finances, you know, everything on his shoulder in terms of the financial welfare of the family, to lead the family and, you know, in the community, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like there was these very specific ideas of what the roles were, and you look over and all of a sudden you have a couple that the two people come in and they're equal in terms of their who they are gender-wise, And so those resumes go out the window because they have to be defined, because nobody walks in going, well, I'm the this person. Because, no, you're also could be claiming that person, and we have to work this out, which is actually a healthier way for any couple to approach it. But that's the threat to conservatism,
in my opinion. And as you know, if I may jump in, I grew up completely differently. I mean, it's like what I saw at a young age, you know, let me know that everybody's a hypocrite. You know, I can tell you right now, and I can tell you straight out without any kind of, you know, doubt in my mind, that I could get Marjorie Greene on the phone and get her masturbating to thinking about two guys making love. I can do that in a heartbeat. That's the perfect kind of person that I was doing it to. That's what I was doing it to.
Right.
You read that in my book. And I told on myself.
Yeah.
I mean, why would somebody make that shit up? I did that, and I told on myself. Maybe myself was bad, but I wasted a lot of time doing that shit because I thought it was funny. Because I'd get these Catholic nuns, and all of a sudden they'd start masturbating and telling me how two guys and saying things. Marjorie Greene is that same kind of person. She is – whatever it is about her, I mean, you know, we all know that, you know, Jewish lasers. What is it? Jewish space laser is stuck on the 405. It's been on there for 2 years. It's not a space, but anyway, that's a joke. But she,
she's such an idiot. I'm just trying to stay in the fact that you have just now established the new Marjorie Taylor Greene challenge. Can she get on the phone with I'm going to use your old name, Sean Mayo.
I'm telling you, I'll bet my life on it. I can get her doing it. I have been with so many women that have done that where, oh, my God, transsexuals. And then I just, especially when I was younger, obviously, you know, and I flip on the porn. And then next thing you know, they're wetter than hell, and they're looking at it, and they're going, well, and or they're on the phone doing it, and, you know, because I took this is really a waste of time. I took a lot of time to make up a story that would get me into that, and, I mean, I obviously I did it so much that I got known in the L.A. County, and I got banned from calling churches. The churches talk to each other and started saying, don't listen to that guy. He'll get you, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, my point is that it's kind of the same, there's a nexus between that and the man who, you know, hates gay people because he's had fantasies about sucking cock. You know, it's the same thing.
I'm just loving this concept. It's like,
let's get on the phone.
We've got to put that out there. But I want to transition, pardon the expression, because the other thing we want to talk about, ironically, is your new book, Sean Mayotte, After Hours, Naked and Unashamed. And this will be the book that you will hand Marjorie Taylor Greene.
And you remember, being naked and unashamed are very important qualities to have when you're doing porn. Got to be naked and unashamed.
So you have released this beautiful book. It's, you know, the beautiful photography of erotica, basically, from back in the day. Why did you decide to put this out there?
To make money. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, because they are such beautiful photos, I got to give credit to Ken Schusselman, who was known to the public as Kurt Dietrich, for the incredible photography that he took. He really was one of the best of the world. And, you know, I've become friends with the people, Terry Noel and John Cox, who bought the studio from him. And I've been friends with them for a long time. And they allowed me to have dominion over them and to use them any way I could. And so what I decided was to, because so many people wanted to see them, and I didn't think it was really fair that in the 80s, you know, I would get paid $1,000 to do a session and another thousand, you know, 500, here we go, they do this, and then $500 to do a P session and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, that went on and on and on and on and on. And
Kent even told me, you know, I made millions for him. And you know, he bought his house in Los Alamitos, which is a pretty expensive, wealthy area to live in Orange County. And from the proceeds he received from my photographs all over the world. And I don't think it's fair to me. Now, I should be making money off it. So, you know, I'm not making hardly any money on it. So don't anybody think that if you buy it, I want you to enjoy it. It's more important to me. Let me go back. It's more important to me to put out something that really, really became a labor of love. I wanted to see if people still wanted hardcover coffee table books. And so I put that out there, and I got a huge response that, yes, we'd buy that. And I kind of let them know, you know, it's kind of expensive, $80. I mean, we went to 15 different printers, and all of us turned it down because they were porn, and they were too dirty and all this stuff. And finally found somebody that would do it with no problem. But it was $900 out of my pocket right off the bat because they didn't know if they would sell or not. You know, they're not going to pay all that money to publish, you know, to print them. And we haven't paid for it yet. So we had to pay that out of our pocket. Now, I've gotten very lucky in that I have sold enough right now to where I have made – my wife and I, we have made a little bit of money. Not much. I mean, we're talking about maybe a couple hundred dollars. But it is picking up. And I like to call it my book of hard-ons because I picked out 30 of the best – you know, and they are beautiful. The guy was incredible as a photographer.
Well,
he stands,
you know,
up there, right, with
the
best.
They are erotic, and they are beautiful photographs. And it does kind of beg the question why a beautiful young man, which I mean, you're still beautiful, but you know, in these pictures, you're exceptional. I mean, just the look of the eyes, the hair, everything is like perfect. But
thank
it's
you.
Like, because it is erect penises, all of a sudden it has gone to this taboo place where just historically, you know, in even in American society, a naked woman in the same position could be seen as completely artistic and for some reason, the erect penis is the most X-rated thing that could be depicted, which is kind of bizarre
that's the
case. So what are your thoughts? What is it about the penis?
Because men are jealous of each other's penises. I mean, you know, this may sound strange, but my belief is, you know, you take down the highest buildings in America because our penises might be bigger. I don't know if that's the reason, but, you know, men are jealous, except for gay men, obviously. But straight men, you know, they're jealous of another man's penis that might be larger, might be better looking, might be whatever. And in the end, you know, we all know that the outside, it does matter for a while. I mean, it matters. But nothing on the outside matters as much as on the inside. I mean, you know, but when it comes to erect penises, again, every problem seems to come back to men. You know, they don't want to see it. They just don't want – they don't want to see it, and that's my guess. I mean, I know that's – you know, that's a pretty lame answer, but I
– No, no, I think it's as valid an answer as any. It just has always seemed to be this huge prudism of American culture.
Right.
I mean, because it wasn't even European culture and, you know, Michelangelo, who, you know, of course was gay, so, you know, there we go. But, you know, his Statue of David is, I mean, he's not erect,
right?
Still male beauty. I mean, in a
yes.
you know, pretty right in your face form. But I mean, that was accessible as art, but you know, it's just something about male sexuality that, you know, it's that level. One of the things in your story that I think is super impressive of your original book, you know, Mayo's The Musings of a Narcissist, a Survivor Story, is how you took abuse, where you were objectified and basically abused and raped different levels to a thing where you're taking that yourself being used as an object and kind of transforming that. How is this affecting you personally?
Well, I mean, when you wrote that article, I'd love to have you write another one. Your writing was beautiful, and you really did hone in on. I think you lasered in on one of the answers of one of my coping mechanisms. Not an answer, a coping mechanism for what I went through, and I turned it into something that would make it work for me. At the same time, you know, I'm a musician too, and I can play Bach and Beethoven when I was a kid, and also. When you go through that in your teenage life so many times, I mean, I could write a whole other book about how many more people, I mean, there was Father Francis, there was many of that had sex with me against my will, other people. And I think that what it also did was inculcate into my head that that's all I was worth. It's a combination of both, and I always say this because it's true. I mean, I've had clients on my caseload that were raped when they were five and all that kind of stuff. And what happens is you become what I call, and it's a well-known phrase in AA and NA and those groups, and you know this probably because you've been sober a long time. You become an egomaniac with no self-esteem. It sounds, it sounds like an irony or a – what's the
paradox,
word for, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, paradox. That's what
paradox.
I'm paradox.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's like when you're used sexually as a young person, all of a sudden you get this ego of like, wow, I got something people want. But at the same time, you're also ashamed because the person doing it to you is ashamed of it. And you read about what Dan Dobbins did to me, and they make it all shameful. And it's all horrible, and it is wrong to do that to a kid because you take away that kid's – it's the worst thing you can do. I mean, it's worse than even physical abuse. And I used to think physical abuse was the worst because what you do to the kid is you take away their right to have their first determination of when they want to have sex. And you have, you know, done things to their body that should never have been done. You've taken somebody else's child and abused them. So – the person like me, in the back of my mind, I'm no good. This is all I'm good for. But I really think that what you hit upon was very true in the way that I dealt with it. I didn't deal with it in the way of like, this is all I'm good for, which is what most of my friends did who got into porn and died of AIDS. And just looked,
right.
You know, I just wrote a tribute to Lance, who's a very popular porn actor in the 80s, and I'm not going to demean David here too much, but I do have to say that, you know, he was a drug user for all those years. He killed himself and basically stole a lot of stuff from the directors, and, you know, instead of turning what he had, where there are those of us that turned what we had into a positive, he killed himself because he couldn't get over the shame of what happened to him when he was young. I mean, most of us that got into porn at that time got into it because, you know, we came from broken families and they discarded us. I was literally on the street at 13, you know, 12, 13, and luckily the system picked me up. And then there's a whole other story there. But,
encourage people. No problem. I do want to focus people on getting your book, the first book, because you lay all that story out in detail, and it's a fascinating read and heart turner. But also, how do people get the new book? How do they order that?
The only way they get the new book is to go to my website, which is www.mayotte.com. Click on that, you know, or Google it and click on it, and then you'll see products. And you click on products, and the new book is right next to the Musings of a Narcissist, and it's called Mayotte After Hours, Naked and Unashamed. And It's $80, and we will ship it to you immediately. I just got a couple orders today. I'm very lucky, and I will personally autograph it for anybody who wants that. You don't have to, pay me to autograph it. I'm so lucky that people would want it. I'm not that. All you got to do is just click on my website, and you can sell it from there. I cannot sell nude pictures from my website. I mean, the book I can, but I can't sell, Amazon or nude pictures. In other words, we published that book. Amazon
right.
didn't publish it. We self-published that. So it cost us a lot of money to publish it. So, and I wanted to make it beautiful, and I think I've gotten a lot of compliments back on saying, oh my God, this is beautiful, this is worth it. And I can't tell you how good I feel inside about that. And, that people are actually, loving my work. I mean,
Yeah, no, it is beautiful. The pictures are beautiful. You're beautiful.
Thank you.
And I mean that more
thank
than
you.
just physically, having had the privilege of getting to know you over the course of this time that we've interacted together.
And it's only going
to
get better, yes.
Exactly. Hey, so, Doug, I wanted to ask you, we've only got 3 minutes left, but I thought if you could, because the whole concept of porn has changed so much since the 80s, where it is actually now in the hands of individuals themselves, thanks to cell phones and
just like music
and all of that. Yeah.
Right.
What are your sage words of advice to people who are self-porning, who are putting out their own pictures off their own phones? What are your final words to them?
Advice? Go for it. Do what you want to do. I mean, it's your business. It's none of my business. And if you have fun doing it, do it. Just know that and it's none of my business. I don't even know, I've looked at porn online, and it's stale. It's kind of, it's ubiquitous, but it's not totally stale. They just, they have everybody's good looking and everybody's good. But if you're doing it yourself, hey, have fun doing it. Why not? If you do it, don't regret it. Have a good time doing it. And if there is a consequence, so be it. That's what happens. I mean, to answer your question, do whatever you want and just have fun. I mean, I spent too many years in constant regret of some of the things that I did, and I finally broke out of that. And it's a very big relief of dominating your mind. And regret is wishing for a better path. Just do it. Anyway, I'll keep it down. Just do all the porn you want.
No, I love that.
Have fun.
I love that. And those are
don't worry about what other people think. That's the biggest thing. Do what you want. Show what you want. Don't give a shit about what anybody thinks. What others think of you is none of your business. Put it that way.
Perfect. Okay, Doug, thank you so much for coming on again today. I love you very much. And
I love you too, Rob. I do.
Two great books out there, so people take advantage of those. I want to thank Brody for his time and work on the show and on the LA Blaze.
Yeah, he's the best.
Which he is the editor of. So great work there. And thank you for listening. We will be back again next week with another fantastic show, I promise. And, that's what we're here for. Tell your friends, have them subscribe.
I will.
You're important to us.
I definitely will.
And we will produce
send
for
me
you
this,
as,
this,
as you
this,
will.
This, if you can email it to me, and I'd love to listen back to it.
We will. And you can find it on your podcast app. Absolutely.
And we
will see you guys next week.
You've been listening to Rated LGBT Radio!